Let us all sit down for a few minutes. Please completely relaxed. All of you may sit as you feel comfortable. And if you wish, you can keep your eyes open. We will have our today's discussion. The fifth day is over. That means we are heading closer to freedom. Freedom, you decide. I don't know what freedom is for me. What happens as the day progresses, as we near freedom? Some of you, countdown starts now. When shall I be free of all these sittings and schedule, these, that? When can I just go home? But some might be thinking, oh no, why don't they extend it for another 5 days? This is different reaction starts in different people as the day progresses. But of course, there is certainly freedom. Freedom, of course, if you are struggling, fighting, of course, by this day, most of the violent revolting of the mind and the body stops. More subtle feelings, more subtle emotions start coming up. And if worked properly with the gross feelings, gross emotions, then of course these things become much easier as the day progresses. So usually it is more likely that most of you might be praying another day more, maybe 2-3 days more if they extend, no problem. And we will see as the day progresses, some of you might not want to talk, of course in 2 days you will start shouting or whatever it is, everything will start. You might not want to talk, you might want to maintain your silence, and suddenly we say, now you can go, relax, retreat is finished. Some of you don't want to get up, you want to keep on sitting. So all these things start as the day progresses. Whatever happens in the mind, however feelings arise in the mind, whatever thought arises in the mind, don't forget, we are here to smile. To accept the reality as it comes, as the day progresses. Let us try to understand. Yesterday and the day before yesterday, I kept on telling, we are walking on this path, what the Buddha called it, the Noble Eightfold Path. And of course, the Eightfold Path is divided into Sila, Samadhi and Panya. Panya means wisdom. Today we will try to understand another part of wisdom. Understanding, yesterday we discussed about the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, known self, suffering, and impermanence. But we have to also understand what this exactly the life is. Buddha, when he was meditating under the tree, what was his discovery? He was also doing the same exercise. Why people suffer? His question, why people suffer? Why we are so ups and downs in life? Why is this happening? Same questions Buddha also had. Buddha, when he was not the Buddha, he always had questions as to why people suffer. Why people become old? Why people die? Why people this? He had all these questions. Now sitting under meditation under this Bodhi tree, he had this understanding. Samadhi came up. And of course, what is this Samadhi? Usually this part of the teaching is called dependent origination. That means depending on one thing, how everything is depending on something. Cause, effect, effect, cause. This is the circle. Usually in most Buddhist monasteries, if you have visited the Himalayan region of India or any Tibetan sort of monasteries, you will see a huge circle painting. And all around the painting there are so many drawings of this. And then this circle is in the mouth of a very ferocious person. He looks like a demon. And the demon is holding this circle in his mouth. And we call this the cycle of life. Of course, in traditional Buddhist countries, most people, they assume, oh, I'm a Buddhist, what do I have to understand? So they don't bother. They say, oh, Buddha, bow down, oh, Buddha, this. And when they have some difficulties, they go, Buddha, please help me, this help me, that help me. And of course, some teacher said, when you have this problem, you bow down 3 times, 10 times, whatever it is. So you do your duty and go away. Hardly people take pains to understand what is this. But understand, this has a very deep meaning as to what you are trying to do these few days of meditation. Understand this circle, then you understand much better as to what you are trying to do. In the circle, there are 12 links. It's a circle. Usually, back in Ladakh, of course, I make a big drawing. Next time when I come for the next retreat, probably I'll bring a big chart of big circle, so you can see what the circle is all about. Anyway, the circle starts, of course, Buddha was sitting down, and when he started to analyze why these problems, why suffering is there, suddenly he realized it is because of avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Because we are ignorant, we suffer. Now, what is ignorance? In a normal day understanding, ignorance means, oh, I don't know anything about Israel. I'm ignorant about Israel. And you say, I'm ignorant about English, or I'm ignorant about Hebrew, or whatever it is. This is the common understanding of ignorance. I don't know history, so I'm ignorant. But Buddha's explanation of ignorance is not this ignorance. Here, ignorance means not understanding the Four Noble Truths. We discussed, well, life is subject to suffering. And every suffering has a cause. All sufferings can be ended, and there is a wonderful path to end all suffering. If you don't understand, if you don't have this understanding, probably you say, oh, I'm ignorant. Another one. We don't understand that all phenomena is constantly changing. Because it is changing, it is suffering. And it is suffering because we always identify with this illusion of I all the time. This understanding is not there. So the Buddha says, you're ignorant. Another ignorance is that we don't know what is good and bad. What is good? What will you call good? What will you call bad? We don't understand this. What is wholesome? What is unwholesome? For some people, what is wholesome becomes unwholesome for some people. For some people, what is unwholesome, it is wholesome for some people. All total confusion is there. So the Buddha says, ignorant. Now let us assume, I'm not saying that we are all ignorant, you all are wise people. Since I've met some of you, I thought I'd come here to teach something. But soon I'm realizing, I'm learning here. So of course, all of you have great knowledge. But let's assume that we're ignorant, we don't know. Alright, we are at this stage, we don't know. And if you know also, tell yourself, yes, you're right, I'm ignorant, I don't know. Let's assume. Now let's say we're ignorant. Then the Buddha says, oh, if you're ignorant, then what happens? He goes, avidya paccaya sankhara, sankhara. That means depending on this ignorance, because we're ignorant, we keep on doing sankhara. Sankhara means conditional activities. In other words, very common word that you all understand, is called karma. That means we keep on doing actions after actions. And now this action is conditional activities. That means intentional activities that you do constantly throughout our life is called karma. Alright? Now let's say we're ignorant and we're doing all kinds of actions, whether physical action, verbal action, mental action. Life is full of action. We keep on doing. Sometimes we do actions full of jealousy, anger, hate, all kinds of things. And we say something that's full of this negativity. And many thoughts are there, full of negativity is there. Passion, lust, all kinds of things are there. We keep on doing actions after actions. Now what happens? Our whole life we keep on doing actions after actions, and suddenly we die. We die. Let's assume we are dead. Of course you are still living, breathing, but let's assume we are dead. Then the Buddha says, we keep on doing actions and then suddenly you die. And the death, as I told you yesterday, it's not written on so and so date at so and so hours, I'm going to die. It's not written. In the middle of all these actions, suddenly there are people who die at birth. Some die even mother's womb. Some die during birth. Some in their childhood. Some die in their teenage. Some die in their middle age. Some die in their old age. There is not an age where people don't die. Very certain. So let us assume for these few moments we are dead. Then what happens? Sankhara pachya vinyana. Vinyana means consciousness, rebirth consciousness. Now as soon as we die, in the Buddhist explanation, yesterday also I told you, all the actions that you do creates an impression on the mind. On the human consciousness, you call it subconsciousness, goes deep into it, the essence of it. Now, when you die, so-called die, the body dies, of course. Body gets old and dies. But the human consciousness, there is no dying for the human consciousness. It is constantly changing and jumping like this. Supposing if you are sick and the doctor says you need to check your blood or whatever it is, there is a small television-like thing and you see these electro waves or whatever waves you see like this, it's going like this. This is like an example of the mind, how it also works like this. It arises, passes, constant this movement is there. Same is human mind. Human consciousness also jumps like this. You die, the mind keeps on going. There is no stopping for the mind, only for the body. But do you know, when this consciousness jumps, it carries all these essence potentialities like a seed. And it goes, takes another form of body. Alright, let's say now we are dead, alright? And now we are conceived in the mother's womb again. Assume. Now let's say when a woman is pregnant, we say that the consciousness comes into the mother's womb. Of course, if you are born as a human being, otherwise who knows? In the Buddhist cosmology, we have 31 planes of existence explained. 31 planes of existence means what? One is the human world, which we see it. Then the second one is the animal world, we also see that. But then there are many planes of existence, whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. But it is mentioned. You don't have to believe it. That's the beauty of Buddhism. You don't have to believe it. Anyway, now let's say that you come back as a human being. So you are conceived in the mother's womb. So the rebirth consciousness is conceived in the mother's womb with all this potentiality in it. Then what happens? So the Buddha is analyzing what's happening. Now let's say we are conceived in the mother's womb. Then what happens? Vinyana pacha nama rupa. Nama rupa means because of this consciousness, based on this consciousness, mind and matter develops. Now you see, when the mother or woman gets conceived, the baby is conceived, not that the baby is suddenly like smiling and with all this singing and dancing in the mother's womb. For the first 4 months or even 5 months, you don't know, it looks like a lump of meat or something. It's just mind and matter, right? So this is how we start growing. Mind and matter starts developing, we are growing. Namarupa pachaya salayatana. Then that leads to, with this mind and body, based on this mind and body, the six senses develops. The six sense basis starts developing. And of course you see after like six months or maybe 7 months, woman knows better, not me. Slowly you will see that the baby starts, the hand is growing, the eyes is there, ears are there, all the six senses starts developing. Right? Now what happens? All right, when the full bloom, all the six senses are bloomed, now you are ready to come out into the world. And let's say, now we're born. I talked about born yesterday. You start crying, starts. Why this crying starts? Because your six senses are active. That is why Buddha says, Salayatana Pachya Phasa. Phasa means, when you have these six senses, there is bound to be contact. Phasa means contact. Now, that's why when the baby comes out, let's not talk about baby. When we come out, our life starts with crying. Why? Because the baby was in a very beautiful, comfortable, I don't know whether it's beautiful, but in a very comfortable place. For let's say 9 months or whatever. And now when it comes out, of course the mother's womb is like a swimming pool, very smooth and very like good temperature inside, maybe, who knows. And now when it comes out, this contact is this gross contact. Suddenly this cloth, what we call very smooth cloth for the baby, for him it is like very hard, you know, very gross. And then the breath, the air comes like this cold, hot or whatever. All this sudden contact is there, and poor baby starts reacting to these senses, to this.